الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا وسيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So, as the brother mentioned, I'm supposed to speak about Islamophobia. And you know what? I really don't want to speak about Islamophobia. And I'll tell you why. I feel like as a nation, as an ummah, or even more specifically, as Muslims living in America, we kind of surround ourselves with a lot of negativity, right? We put ourselves in these situations where we're always talking about the negative aspects of what is happening around us. And we talk about the tests and the trials, and I myself, I often talk about tests and trials, and that was actually one of my goals for this talk, was to remind myself and my brothers and sisters, people in this room, and anyone hearing this, that Islamophobia is nothing new. It's been there since the very birth of Islam. It was there at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People told lies about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People said things to discredit him. And what's, subhanAllah, mind-blowing about discrediting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the fact that he was known as Al-Amin, the trustworthy one, the truthful one. And then it's the same people who, when they heard the message of Islam, that turned around and started accusing him of being a soothsayer and a magician, and some people even dared to call him a liar. And we believe, as Muslims, that all of that happened for many reasons, but one of the reasons it happened so that we would have an example to look to. That when we in 2015, living in another continent, a different continent than the Prophet ﷺ lived, living in a different time, a different environment, a very strange environment if you were to compare it to the environment of the Prophet ﷺ, that we could now, 1500 years later, turn back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and be inspired by his life. And so that's what I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about the tests and the trials that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through. And our tests are nowhere near the tests that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through and the companions went through, because for them it wasn't just Islamophobia, a phobia of Islam. It wasn't just bigotry and fear-mongering, which is, yes, we deal with that. It was physical trials as well. We know how the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were physically harmed and tortured. And you talk about pain, when you add emotional pain and physical pain in one situation, that's a scary place to be. And alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, most of us don't deal with physical persecution. We don't deal with being physically tortured. We don't deal with something like what Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala dealt with, where they would take him out in the middle of the day to the hot Arabian sun, lay him down in the sand, and put a hot burning boulder on his stomach and his chest, until his skin would sizzle. And Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala an, you know what he says? He says, in that moment, the only thing that would bring me any comfort, and not emotional comfort, but physical comfort or emotional relief, and this is crazy to think about this, but he said, it's the own pus from my wounds that would bring some type of coolness to the searing pain that I'm dealing with. This was Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala an. And he goes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he tells him of his torture and his pain. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells him, be patient. He says, be patient, O Khabbab, because the nations who came before you, they would be put in a ditch and they would be sawed in half. And so that's why I mentioned this to you. And wallahi, I'm not mentioning these examples to you to belittle your problems, to belittle our problems. Wallahi, that's not the reason. I don't say this to you to say, you know what, get over it. Islamophobia is not a big deal. The problems that you are going through, they're not a big deal. Wallahi, that's not why I'm mentioning this to you. I'm mentioning this to you to inspire you to be patient and to give you strength and inspiration to deal with whatever problems you're going through. Whether it's a problem of the ummah like Islamophobia or even your personal problems. So that is what I had planned for you. Islamophobia. And that, you know what? We've been going through it forever. And every prophet went through it. And this is why, by the way, the Prophet told Khabbab radiallahu anh that the nations who came before you, meaning the previous prophets and their followers, they went through that. And they went through worse torture than what you're going through right now. So likewise, I would say to you right now, I would remind us and I would say, yeah, the pain and the problems and the issues that we're going through, be patient, as the Prophet ﷺ said, because the nation who came before you, they went through worse. أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةِ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَزُلْزِلُوا حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do you think that you will enter Jannah? Do you think that you will enter paradise and a trial has not come upon you like the trial of those who came before you? They were afflicted with extreme poverty and extreme hardship. And they were, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, zulzilu. They were shaken to their core. They were shaken until they reached a point where they said, mata nasrullah. They said, when is the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to come? This is not ordinary people. Wallahi, these are not ordinary people. These are the people who have iman like we can't even imagine. These are the people who had spirit and courage like we can't even imagine. It is those people who said, oh Allah, when is the help going to come? Ala, inna nasrullahi qareeb. Most surely the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is close. My brothers and sisters, Islamophobia is a reality. But like I said, I didn't want to be negative. I didn't want to be negative, because when I walked into this room, and as I was sitting up here, and as I was listening to Brother Farhan talk, I looked out at this room, and wallahi, I felt extremely positive. I thought to myself that this room is full. Walillahi alhamd. There are people standing outside. There are people trying to get in. There's people sitting on the floors. And to me, this is absolutely amazing that as Muslims in America, we have reached a state where people are struggling to get into a room to increase their iman. Because why are you here? You're here to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? You're here to spend a few moments of your day to hear something perhaps that will inspire you to worship Allah, that will inspire you to fight your nafs, that will inspire you to fight the whisperings of shaitan, that will inspire you to fight your temptations, that will inspire you to fight all the trials that are going around you and to be firm. That's why you're here. And so for me, my brothers and sisters, looking at you here today, this room is inspiring. Looking at the sisters and the brothers, this is a time to be extremely happy. And this is not abnormal. The fact that our tests have produced all of you, that's not abnormal. Because that is one of the reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us, to bring us closer to Him. And I know we tend to look at things happening around us, and every time something happens, every time there's an incident, I know the first thing that goes through pretty much every Muslim's mind is, oh no, not again. Right? Ya Allah, please let this person not be Muslim. Right? Ya Allah, please don't let them have a Muslim name. Ya Allah, please at least don't even let their name sound Muslim. Right? Everyone thinks that. Right? But what is that? What is that environment of Islamophobia, environment of bigotry that we deal with as Muslims living in America and Muslims around the world as well? What it has produced is Muslims binding together and coming together and working together, which hasn't happened like this. For Muslims living in America, this is a very unique time. The fact that we have come together like this, we have bonded together like this. There are people on the roster for this conference from all different backgrounds. Someone who studied in Al-Azhar, somebody who studied in Medina, somebody who studied in India, somebody who studied here. And the fact that we have been brought together and we have come together is a testament. And so I would say that these tests and trials from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That I know we tend to look at Islamophobia, we tend to look at every time something happens and every time we scroll through our Facebook feed and we see a Fox News article or we see Sean Hannity saying something or Bill O'Reilly saying something, it boils our blood. I know it. And every Muslim knows it. Every Muslim in America knows what that feels like. But I urge you in times like that to do two things. Number one, I urge you to use that as an inspiration to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I urge you to, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ, to flee to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when you feel helpless, which is the feeling that we have a lot of times, we feel like we have no control over the situation. When you see one guy do something and you know it's gonna affect the whole Muslim body in America, wallahi, I know if you feel helpless. I know you feel like there's nothing I can do. I can talk about Islam till the crows come home. All day I can talk about Islam, but it's not gonna make a difference. And I know you feel like no matter what you do, no matter how many people you talk to about Islam, no matter how many positive videos you post online, no matter what you do, there's just no way to fight Islamophobia. In that helplessness, my brothers and sisters, I urge you to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I urge you to run to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the people who are tested and their outlook on life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah says, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, give glad tidings to those who are patient. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبًا, those who, when they're afflicted with a musibah, and a musibah is a calamity, it's a big problem. When you feel like you have no hope, a loss of control, what do they say? قَالُوا, they say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. You know the problem with this statement when it comes to our relationship with it? A lot of times we associate this statement only with someone dying. Someone dies, we say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. I know if there's somebody walking around outside and they heard me say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, they're probably like, hey, who died? Who is he talking about in there? Right? This statement is not just for death. This statement is for all of the masa'ib. It's for all of the calamities, big and small. Because this statement is aqeedah. This statement is belief. It's part of who you are. It's part of what you represent. It's part of what you hold dear in your heart. And that is, in the end of the day, what you understand is that we belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to Allah we will return. I want you to imagine that someone comes up to you today as you leave this room, and someone says, hey, I have a gift for you. I want to give you something. And they hand you, and I know this sounds unbelievable, but they hand you a check for $10 million. I imagine you walk out of here, someone's like, hey man, here you go, I just want to give you a gift. And he hands you this piece of paper. You open it up. It's a check for $10 million. You open it up and you're like, dude, is this a joke or something? And they're like, no, serious. These are $10 million for you. Obviously, you're going to be completely ecstatic at that point. Right? You're going to be completely happy. Your life has changed overnight. In a moment, you've gone from being, maybe you're fairly well off, maybe not, but now you have $1 million. I want you to imagine what that feels like. And I want you to imagine how grateful you would be to that person who gave you those $10 million. Now imagine that he comes back to you tomorrow morning and he finds you. And the first thing you think is he's probably coming back to get his $10 million back. He definitely made a mistake by giving me those $10 million. He comes up to you and he goes, hey man, I know I gave you $10 million yesterday, but, and you're like, uh-oh. And he goes, but I need $100. And you're like, dude, seriously, $100? And he's like, yeah, you know, I need $100 from you, is that okay? And you're like, of course, it's okay. $100? You want $1,000? You want $10,000? You want $20,000? You want $1,000,000? Khalas, take it. Right? Why do you feel that way? Because you're like, you're the one who gave me $10 million. What is $100? What is $1,000? Right? And likewise, when we say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, wa lillahi mathalul a'la, and for Allah is the highest example, what we're saying is, Allah, you have given me everything that I have. Everything in my life belongs to you. Every single thing that I can even smile about belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if Allah takes something away from us, if Allah puts us in a little bit of hardship, if Allah has put us in a situation as Muslims living in America where we have to face this bigotry and this fear-mongering, then does it really matter? Is it really that big of a deal? Even if you lose a loved one, is it really, and that's the mindset here, that is it really that big of a deal? And wallahi, my brothers and sisters, this is what it means to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your moments of grief, in your moments of hardship, in your moments of sorrow, is that you remind yourself of what really matters. And that, my brothers and sisters, I feel really bad. I feel, wallahi, I feel really bad for a person who goes through a hardship and they don't get to have that amazing spiritual experience of turning to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, that if my servant asks you of me, then I am near. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ دَاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ, that I answer the call of the caller when he calls. That when my servant calls out to me, I am there. And you know what Allah is telling us here? Allah is telling us of that amazing spiritual experience of when you feel like there's no one who can help you, when you feel like there is no hope, there's nothing that can bring you out of the situation that you're in, and you turn to Allah and you say, oh Allah, you are the only one who can take me out of my situation. Wallahi, I feel bad for you if you have never experienced that. Because that is an imani experience, that is a spiritual experience that cannot be replicated. You know, people often, they come to me, and one of the biggest concerns that I get from people, biggest questions is, you know, I feel like my iman is going down. I feel like my iman is suffering. You know, I pray and I do this, but I don't feel this. And one of the things that I tell people is you have to be conscious of what is happening around you. You have to put things in proper context, because literally everything happening in your life is an opportunity from Allah for you to raise your iman if you just paid attention. If you just paid attention. Even, subhanAllah, dealing with Islamophobia. Even dealing with people who you feel like you have no way to have any type of dialogue with them. And actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this to us in the Quran. Imam Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions in his tafsir that there are three places in the Quran where Allah tells us of our default behavior towards mankind or people who show hatred and animosity towards us. Right? This is the default behavior of a Muslim. Number one, Surah Al-A'raf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خُدْ الْعَفُوْ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَأَعْرِدْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. Allah says, show forgiveness. Someone comes to you, and I'm putting this in the context of Islamophobia. Someone comes to you, and they're spewing garbage out of their mouth. Right? Hatred, just pure hatred. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the first thing you do is you show forgiveness towards their behavior. Because if we were to take everyone to account for everything that they say, it would be chaos. And then we see people acting in crazy ways, it's because they're not showing forgiveness. They're taking people to account for everything that they say and do. And wallahi, the other issue is that we ourselves cannot live up to those standards. If we were held accountable by the people around us for every single thing we say, all our relationships would be destroyed. So Allah says, خُدْ الْعَفُوْ, that show forgiveness, وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ, and command that which is good. So showing forgiveness doesn't mean you don't clarify what the truth is. You don't clarify right from wrong. So yes, as Muslims, we show forgiveness towards the Islamophobe. But that doesn't mean we remain quiet. We stand up for what is right. And we clarify what Islam is and what it isn't, of course. And then Allah says, وَأَعْرِدْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ, as for the foolish, as for the ignorant, the one who you can have no dialogue with, turn away from them. Just walk away. Just walk away. That's number one. Number two, we have Surah Al-Mu'minun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنْ, اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ السَّيِّئَةِ, repel evil with that which is better. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, نَحْنُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يَصِفُونَ, we are the most aware of what they describe, of what they say. And why is Allah mentioning this here? Is because one of the reasons we act out in an un-Islamic way, one of the reasons we act out of anger, one of the reasons why we cross the boundaries of Islam, is because we feel like this is necessary to defend what is right. For example, and I take it down from Islamophobia to a personal example, someone's been spreading rumors about you, someone's been talking about you behind your back, somebody's been saying things about you that aren't true, somebody's been slandering you, your inclination may be that you have to clarify what's right. You have to tell people, no, this is not true. What they're saying about me is not true. It's not right, whatever. And that may cause you to act in an un-Islamic way. That may cause you to have bad character and bad behavior. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, نَحْنُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يَصِفُونَ. Allah is well aware of what they say. And Allah is the most just. Never be afraid that you will not get justice. Because maybe in this life you won't get justice, but in the next you will. On a personal level and on a global level as well. Every single person who has harmed our brothers and sisters, maybe they won't get justice. Maybe we won't see that justice in this life. But in the next, a Muslim has firm faith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of them. And that mindset means you control your behavior. That's the second place. The third place, Surah Fussilat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ, a good deed is not equal to a bad deed. فَإِذَا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ, ادْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ, once again, repel evil with that which is better. Somebody comes to you and they're acting towards you in a horrible way. They're acting, their behavior is horrible, it's evil, it's bad. You don't repel that evil with evil. You repel it with that which is better. فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ, for perhaps if there is some animosity between you and this person. Now let's take that as an example, right? The Islamophobe comes up to you and he starts saying things about Islam, saying things about your religion that you know are not true. And he's not letting you talk. Let's say, لَا قَدَّرَ اللَّهِ, you find yourself on Sean Hannity's show, right? And you know how that works. Basically, the guests don't get to say anything. He basically tells you what you believe, and then he tells you you're wrong, and then he's like, thanks for having, it was good to have you here. That's it, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that repel that with that which is better. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةً, perhaps there is some enmity, some hatred, some animosity between you and this person. And then what happens next, what Allah says next is amazing. Allah says, كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. Allah can make it that this person becomes your close friend. Can you imagine Sean Hannity becoming your close friend? Can you imagine Bill O'Reilly becoming like your homeboy? You're like, oh, it's Eid, we're gonna go visit Bill O'Reilly, right? He's gonna have us over. Is that impossible? No, it's not. You know, I used to hate on Justin Bieber a lot, like a lot, right? I always used to make fun of him in my classes and all this kind of stuff or whatever. And then, subhanAllah, I really thought about this issue. And I was like, that's not right. It's, wallahi, it's not right. Because how do I know that Allah will not guide Justin Bieber? May Allah guide him. Say ameen. Ameen. And you know what? If Allah guides Justin Bieber, do you know how many millions of 14-year-old girls will accept Islam? That would be the most amazing thing ever, right? So we cannot look at someone and say, our enemy, there's no hope. It's not possible. Allah says, كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. He cannot, not just you'll be okay with this person, you'll be all right. You will be close friends with this person. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا. But this will not be attained by anyone except those who are patient. You want to take this person from being somebody who hates you, hates everything about you, someone who has spent their life working against you, and you want that person to become your close friend? It's possible, but it's going to require tons and tons and tons of patience. Right? It's not going to be easy, but it is possible. وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. And no one attains this except they attain a great portion. Meaning there is a great amount of reward in that. Imagine if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had given up on Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Umar ibn al-Khattab, the one whose name, just saying his name brings joy to our hearts. The one whose name, just saying, wallahi, just saying his name brings izzah to our hearts and to our deen. You say Umar ibn al-Khattab, we're like, yes. He was part of Islam, right? That's our homeboy. Like, we got him. He was part of us. I can trace myself back to Umar ibn al-Khattab. And that's a, wallahi, yes. It's a point to be proud about. Imagine if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given up on him. And I'm going to conclude with this one thing that has always, always, always bothered me about what happened in France with that cartoonist, journalist, who made fun of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how he was killed. You know, I don't agree with what happened, and I don't even really like to say I understand why those supposedly Muslims shot him, right? Because that's not okay. But I kind of understand. Right, I see where they're coming from. They're trying to defend the Prophet sallam, and they, you know, it's, there's nothing worse than we love the Prophet sallam more than we love our own lives and our own fathers and our daughters and our children. Yes, but subhanAllah, how did those people know that this guy Charlie, the one who died, did they have a guarantee that he wasn't going to become Muslim one day? Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take those people to account for what they did. Because they took a life that they didn't have guarantee over. They didn't have guarantee over his kufr. They didn't have guarantee over his disbelief. Allah can change anyone's heart. And to take that life means you have made a judgment on their akhirah. And we cannot make judgment on anyone's, no matter how much they hate us. No matter what they do to us, no matter how much they've harmed us, no matter how much pain they have caused us, we cannot make a ruling on their akhirah. That's not for us to do. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to that which is the most beloved to Him. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to continue to bless Muslims in America and Muslims across the world as well. And like I said, wallahi, I wanted to be super positive, and I hope I've at least accomplished that to a small degree, to be positive in this talk, because wallahi, looking out at this audience right now, I'm filled with positivity. And I don't know if I'm gonna get another chance to speak to you. Perhaps you may not attend any one of my other talks today. But if you don't hear me speak to you again, I want you to leave this conference being extremely positive and happy with what we have accomplished, especially based off of what we're dealing with. The fact that we have, like I said, the fact that we have come together after everything that we go through as Muslims is something to be truly, truly grateful about. Right? Alhamdulillah. أقول ما تسمعون والله تعالى أعلم وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وجزاكم الله خيرا والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.